elements are ready. The place has been prepared. Strings of lights and holly are draped across the chair. The family is all together. I know where they must be. Everyone is searching for the perfect tree. The perfect tree grew very long ago, and it was not decked with silver or with ornaments of gold, but hanging from its branches was a gift for you and me. Jesus laid his life down on the perfect tree. Mother wants a straight one, the children want it tall. Dad just hopes that somehow he can get it down the hall. Soon they'll gather round it, as proud as they can be. But when they're looking at it, I wonder if they see. The perfect tree grew very long ago, and it was not decked with silver or with ornaments of gold, but hanging from its branches was a gift for you and me. Jesus laid his life down on the perfect tree. With all the celebrations, sometimes the truth is lost, that every step this baby took brought him closer to the cross. The perfect tree grew very long ago, and it was not decked with silver or with ornaments of gold, but hanging from its branches was a gift for you and me. Jesus laid his life down on the perfect tree very long ago, and it was not decked with silver or with ornaments of gold, but hanging from its branches was a gift for you. Jesus laid his life down on the perfect tree.
Thank you, Brother Ryan. Well, good morning once again. It is good to see everybody in the service. Would you please stand with me as we turn in the scripture together this morning, if you would please, to 1 Peter chapter number 5. And we're going to consider one verse this morning, if you'll follow along with me in the scripture as I read, if you would please. If you do not have a copy of the Word of God, there should be one under the chair right in front of you. Go ahead and use that while you're here. And make use of it, and please return it once you're done this morning. Let's read together, follow along with me, 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 8. Peter writes, "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour." Pray with me, if you would, please, as we continue in attitude of worship, if you would, this morning. Heavenly Father, we are grateful for your blessings in our life, your kindness to us. Thank you for Sunday school this morning, and for everybody that was here for that, and thank you for the church crowd that is here with us this morning. We ask a blessing upon them. Lord, help us as we consider your word. I pray, Lord, that the Holy Spirit might work through me. I yield myself to him. I ask, Lord, that you would help me and speak through me today to the hearts and lives of people that are in our midst. If there's any lost, I pray, dear God, that they would come to a saving knowledge and acceptance of Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And dear God, for those of us who know your Son, I pray, Lord, that we'd be drawn closer to you. We ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Thank you very much. And be seated, if you would please, this morning. The title of my message this morning is The Four Don'ts of Christianity. The Four Don'ts. That's do not. Do not do these things. Okay? So the four don'ts of Christianity. And we use the verse here in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 8, as a starting place. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, and understand that we have an adversary today who is active, he is alive and well, and he is wreaking as much havoc as he can upon this earth. The devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Now, that is not just talking about lost people, and certainly, you know, the devil really doesn't start fighting people until they get saved. Because if you're in his camp, he already owns you. Why is he going to bother you? He's not going to bother you. He's going to leave you alone. But the moment that you invite Jesus Christ into your heart, you get a target on your back. And so we have an adversary. And so we need to learn how to avoid some pitfalls in our life. Who better than Peter would know about the prowlings of Satan? Jesus warned Peter that Satan was after him, but Peter failed to heed the warning. And that is the thing that we need to realize this morning. Too many Christians today have gone to sleep. They are opening the way for Satan to work in their life. So we need to be proactive. There are some things we need to avoid, some things that we need to stay away from. Don't, number one, don't stray. Don't, number one, don't stray. Psalm 119, verse 67, the psalmist writes, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." Have you been there? "Before I was afflicted, I went astray." What does that mean? Before the devil was able to sift me like wheat, before he was able to hammer me, I went astray from the things of Almighty God. But he goes on to say, "But now have I kept thy word." We can either learn from listening, or we can learn from experience. Experience is quite a teacher in our lives. So if we will not adhere to, child of God, if we will not listen to the words of God, he can and will get our attention, because when we make that decision to turn away from him, to do the things that are directly contrary to the word of God, then we make ourselves vulnerable. We make ourselves open to the enemy. And so we can either learn by listening, we can listen and learn, or we can live and learn. And many times that is a painful, painful situation. I want to give you a little illustration. When I was a boy, about 7 or 8 years old, my family lived at 122 Elm Street, Northeast, here in Albuquerque, New Mexico. Tiny little duplex apartment, really about 4 rooms. Living room, bedroom, small kitchen, bathroom, and then a larger bedroom, 5 rooms. Several of us living in that house. We had a cat by the name of Snowball. Snowball was gray. You say, how in the world did Snowball get the name of Snowball when Snowball was gray? He had a white round ball on his back, pure white, looked like a perfect snowball. So hence he got the name Snowball. Well, you know, cats. Cats don't have just one home. Oh, no, 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 no. Cats can have several homes. Well, our street, the apartment we lived in faced west. The house to the right, there was an elderly couple by the name of Simons. Lovely, lovely couple. And they were Presbyterian and went to the Presbyterian church right across the street there from their little tiny little house where they used to live. And their children were raised and all gone, and they didn't have anybody around. And so Snowball used to go over there to visit. So my mother one day was concerned about Snowball. She says, Donnie, go look for Snowball. Go over to the Simmons and see if Snowball's over there. I go over, I knock on the door, and I inquire about, we're looking for Snowball. Have you seen Snowball? Mr. Simmons invites me into the house. I walk into the house, and there on top of the television, right on top of the television is Snowball, just making himself at home. Now, today, young people say, how could he fit on a little screen? No, this was 60 years ago. Televisions were mammoth back in those days. They were huge. They took up a whole wall. I mean, they had the old tubes in them. And Snowball apparently would get on the top of that television because it was warm. And he'd just make himself at home. You see, that's what strays do. They make themselves at home. Well, Snowball must have gotten a little overconfident one day, and he decides he's not going to stay at home, and he's not going to visit with the Simmons family. He's going to go over to the other side of the street, to the south side of our house. He's going to visit over there and see if he can't find some grub. Only one problem. They've got dogs. And you know what happened? They chased Snowball. They caught him, and they broke his hind leg. Snowball was in a cast. He was moving slow after those days. He was dragging that leg behind him just everywhere he went. He was just dragging that leg. We are the same way when we stray from home. Maybe we can go to one place and we're welcome. So then we try a little more dangerous place. And we're caught. Isn't that just how Christians sometimes can behave? Christians sometimes neglect their prayer life. Or maybe they failed to study the Word of God as they should. When they do this, they begin the process of straying away from the Lord. And after a while, they don't miss the prayer time. They don't miss the time in God's Word. And they get out there on their own where Satan can be effective in their life. Some Christians lack the courage to say no to non-Christian friends. Have you ever been there? Well, I don't want to offend them. So what's the option? You don't want to offend them, so you're going to join them? What kind of testimony is that? But see, sometimes we Christians lack the courage to stand up and say, you know what? Thank you very much, but I don't do that anymore. Well, what's different about you? Well, I accepted Jesus as my Lord and Savior. Oh, you're one of those? You've become a holy roller? Well, I'm not holy. But I've got a brand new life now. And see how easy it becomes to begin to do the things that we used to do, or maybe never even stop doing the things that we used to do. Christians must guard our devotional life diligently, drawing near to God daily. We must take our stand boldly for God, staying away from Satan's territory. James said it this way in chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. He said, "Submit yourselves, therefore, to God." What does it mean to submit? It means to yield. To submit means I surrender. We sing that invitation, I surrender all. Now, Christians, we wouldn't sing a lie, would we? Would we sing a lie? Well, we shouldn't. I surrender all. See, that's what submission means. That is what submitting ourselves before the Lord means, is to surrender to Him. It goes on to say, resist the devil. Resist the devil. How do we resist the devil? Well, I think one of the ways we resist the devil is we hold up this book, and we say, by the power of this book, I resist you. By the blood of Jesus Christ that has saved my soul, I resist you today in the name of Jesus Christ. And what is the promise? The promise is this, and He will flee from you. Now, let me help you to understand. You might have victory today and failure tomorrow. Why? Because this is daily. This is not something you do just one time in your life and you're victorious the rest of your life. No, you must daily submit yourself to Jesus Christ. You must daily resist Satan, and if we will do that, the promise is that he will flee from us. James goes on to say this, draw nigh to God, in verse number 8, and he will draw nigh to you. When does God draw nigh to us? That's a question. When? That requires a response. Hello? When we draw nigh to Him. So if I want victory in my life, if I want Jesus to draw near to me, what must I do? I must draw nigh to Him. Jesus is never going to be any closer to us than we endeavor to be close to Him. If I want His closeness, if I want His fellowship, I must draw nigh to Him. I must take that initiative, because Jesus will be as close to us as we are to Him. If we desire Him, if we want His help, if we want victory, then we must draw nigh unto God. And the promise is He will draw nigh unto us. Guys, isn't it more fun when you kiss that little lady? If she'll kiss you back. Is it fun kissing a statue? I'm not moving. You ladies, you get angry with your husband because you've been married for years and there's this much distance between you and him and the car. Well, if he's driving, who moved? He's still in the driver's seat. Remember when you were dating and you sat on his lap while he drove? What changed? He's still driving. Don't get mad at him. If Jesus isn't as close to you this morning as you wish he was, check and see if you've moved. And by the way, he should be in the driver's seat. Because see, Jesus isn't your co-pilot. He's your pilot. And so if you're not experiencing that closeness, examine your life and see if you've moved. Because the promise is if we will draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. You see, it's all about attitude. It's all about attitude. And honestly, I get it why sometimes God doesn't bless me, because my attitude sometimes stinks. Hello? You been there? You know what I'm talking about. You know what I'm talking about. So we need to draw nigh to him. We need to be reminded. He goes on to say, cleanse your hands, because sometimes our hands get dirty with sin. Ye sinners. He's not talking to lost people here. He's talking to believers. And he calls them sinners. He's saying some of you are living the same lifestyle that you lived before you got saved. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded. What does God say about the prayer of a double-minded man? God's not going to bless that person. God's not going to hear that prayer. You see, some Christians are as comfortable in the world as they are in church. That's being double-minded. That's wanting our cake and eating it too. That's an old expression of my mother's. You've heard it before. Your parents have said, you want your cake and eat it too? What does that mean? It means you want to hold on to God and you want to hold on to Satan. And then you wonder why it doesn't work. Cleanse your hands, ye sinners. Purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So the first don't is don't stray. The second is this. Don't strut. Don't strut. Proverbs 16, verse number 18 says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. Let me read that again. Pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. So the second don't of Christianity is don't strut. God hates pride. Some Christians this morning lack humility. They desire the praise and honor of people rather than the approval of Almighty God. Go with me, if you would, please, to the Gospel of John this morning. Turn there, if you would, the Gospel of John. And let me find it here. Chapter number 12, the 12th chapter of the Gospel of John. And I want to begin to read there in verse. Let's look at verse number 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him. This is the Pharisees, amongst the Pharisees. So it's saying that many of the chief rulers believed on him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, because lest they should be put out of the synagogue. So in other words, the praise of man meant more to these religious rulers than the praise of Almighty God. It was more important to be praised by the religious people of the day than it was to be recognized by Almighty God. How sad and how tragic. And we see examples of it in the scripture when perhaps that is why Nicodemus came to the Lord by night. Maybe that's why he did that. So that the religious rulers of the day would not see that. Maybe even Joseph of Arimathea responded that way. I don't know. But we know that many of the chief rulers believed on him. They believed that Jesus was the Messiah. But they would not stand up and boldly proclaim him as the Messiah because they were afraid of the religious crowd. Let me help you to remember that in the last day, when men stand before Jesus in judgment, it is him that we are going to face and not the Pharisaical crowd. It is not the religious of the day. Oh, thank God we're not going to stand before the Pope. He's now got permission to change the Lord's Prayer. Isn't that whoopee-doo? Woo! Wonderful. Wonder where that permission came from. Do you suppose he's just making that up? I didn't know you could change the Lord's Prayer. What blasphemy. And every Catholic priest across the world should be standing up and demanding an apology from the Pope. No one has permission to change the Word of God. But they will not do it because of the power that the Pope yields. Because they would rather have the praise of the Pope than the praise of Jesus Christ. How sad, how tragic. But the reality is, many times in our Christian life, we would rather have the praise of men than the praise of Jesus. Jesus, who is our example, was humble. He declared that he could do nothing by himself, but he depended on the Father. He came to please his heavenly Father. He did not do his will, but he did the will of the heavenly Father. Therefore, we must also be humble. We avoid Satan's snares by doing those things that are pleasing to Almighty God. By giving him first place in our lives, James 4 and verse number 10. Humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. So the first don't was don't stray away from the Lord. The second don't is don't strut. We are nothing. I showed a video in Sunday school this morning because my sorry associate, Brother Kennedy, is off in Hawaii today. And I'm not upset about it at all. He left me a message on the phone yesterday. He says, it's 78 degrees. Hope all is going well. Wish you were here. Dirty liar. He doesn't wish we were there. He's off doing his thing. Humble. Humility. Pleasing the Lord. Lifting him up. The third don't this morning is don't stoop. Don't stoop. What does that mean? It means not to overcome, not to become by overcome by evil, but to overcome evil with good. Romans chapter 12 and verse number 21. Don't stoop. As we look around our world this morning, the morals of our world are in an all-time low. Everywhere you look today, there's violence. We witnessed it in our own state this past week in Aztec, with a young man taking the lives of two high school students. We live in a very violent time. We live in a time of illicit sex. It is everywhere. It's all over the television and the news, all over the movie industry. Not only that, but use of alcohol and drug abuse. There's such a danger today of drug abuse. It is everywhere. It is everywhere. It used to be that drugs were sold in a back alley somewhere. And now probably every neighborhood has a drug house. It's everywhere. And it's no longer the college students. It's the high school students, junior high, and now even in grade school. There's a drug epidemic in this nation, but not all of it is legal or illegal. Much of it is legal. You go to a doctor today, you leave with 10 prescriptions. You get a drug for this and a drug for that and a drug to counteract what this does and that does, and everywhere you look, drug, 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 drug. Last year, 64,000 people in America died from opioid abuse. That's more people than died in 8 years of Vietnam, and that was terrible. And that's all we heard about. But what is being said today about the 64,000 people a year? And thank God for our president who is trying to bring attention to that great travesty. 64,000 people dying a year from opioid abuse. And the politicians are just looking the other way. Well, could it just be that they're getting their pockets lined from the pharmaceutical companies? You see, not all the drug abuse takes place in the drug alleys today. Many times it takes place right in the doctor's office as they write out prescription after prescription after prescription after prescription after prescription. Used to be when a child misbehaved in school, you gave them a spanking and they stopped their nonsense. And today you prescribe a drug. They've got to have Ritalin. They've got to have this drug and that drug. What are we teaching our children? We're teaching our children that they need to be drug dependent. Well, let me say it loudly and clearly today. Our children don't need to be drug dependent. They need to be Jesus Christ dependent. Amen. Don't stoop. Dishonesty and corruption in government bear this out. Such a wicked and vile acts. Day after day after day after day after day. Millions have relaxed their moral standards because they are spiritual slack. But I want you to understand that Christ will lift and restore those who will repent and forsake of their sins. Jesus Christ is still in the saving business today, and he's still in the changing of lives today. We have people today on generations of welfare. People living together outside of matrimony. All because they get a check from the government if they'll remain single. And they will not get married because they'll have to give up their dependence upon the government. And then they wonder, why doesn't God bless America? Why doesn't God bless our nation? Well, could it just be that we've got our hands out to the government and saying, give me that money? There's no work ethic today. Everybody's dependent on a government handout. And if it means that I must defy Almighty God, I will do it for my government check. Don't stoop, Christian. Don't stoop to the morals of society today. People living outside of wedlock and they think, well, what's wrong with it? And it's sad to say that it's not only young people doing it today. Many times it's those who go through divorce or sometimes lose a mate. And it even affects the church many times when people will not do the right things, all because they'll lose a check. And then they wonder why God doesn't bless their lives. Don't stoop, child of God, to the things that are going on today. God will still bless those who lift him up. God will still bless those who will live for him and put him first. Don't stoop. Don't stoop to the level of the world. Because when we do, we're saying goodbye to God. Just like we did 50 years ago when we picked prayer out of our schools. And then we wonder why our schools are in such chaos today. How sad, how sad, how sad. There's one other. Don't stop. Don't stop. Go with me, if you would please, to Galatians this morning, chapter number 6. Galatians chapter number 6. I want to begin to read there in verse number 8, or verse number 9, if you would please. And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Now read that again. This is written to Christian people. And let us not be weary in well-doing. Christian, child of God, do you get weary trying to live the Christian life? Doesn't it not sometimes seem to be a challenge that you just can't get around? It just seems insurmountable. Paul says this, let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. If we do not stop doing the right things, we will reap good things. Notice what it says, verse number 10. As we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Don't stop. Don't stop living the Christian life. Don't give up just because it's hard. We live in a time, a society today, if it's not easy, we're not interested. Well, that's what built the Hoover Dam. That's the attitude that built the Empire State Building. That's the attitude that built the Sears Tower. If it's hard, scrap it. Forget it. We've got to get away from this mentality that because it's hard, we're not interested. Paul said, in due season, we will reap if we faint not. Gee, I wonder if it was a cakewalk walking the Via Della Rosa with a cross on his back. I wonder if it was easy being scourged by the Roman soldiers. I wonder if that was a piece of cake. I wonder if hanging suspended on the cross for crimes that he did not commit was a piece of cake. I just wonder about that. Paul says, don't give up. Don't quit. Don't stop. Fight the devil with every ounce of energy that you have. And when you run out of energy, ask Jesus for a second blessing. Ask him to keep you going. Ask him to help you to continue doing the things that God would have you to do for the honor and glory of the Lord Jesus Christ. Some Christians had a good start, but they've come to a bad stop in their Christian experience. Let me give you a couple of things. Satan attracts. Satan attracts with the glamour and the promises of your name in lights, fortune and fame. Satan attracts our attention with those things. He not only attracts, but he also distracts. How does he do that? You see, he's doing a work over here that is destroying the church. But he says, don't look at that. Look at what's going on over here. Look at the sideshow. Look at all the woo, all the hoop-de-loo, all the glamour and the glitz and all that stuff. Don't be thinking about what's going on over here where he's defeating the church and he's hurting people and he's ruining lives. Don't keep your eyes on that. Keep your eyes on all this good stuff that's going on over here. You say Satan attracts, And he also distracts. And then he attacks. Then he comes after the Christian with a vengeance. Trying to defeat, trying to discredit, trying to do everything he can to stop the child of God. And he always does it through his subtlety. He doesn't advertise. He doesn't say that a month from now I'm going to destroy you. He doesn't say that. He attracts, he distracts, and then he attacks. Like a roaring lion. Do not doubt for a moment that his ambition is to destroy you, to put you in an early grave. Because if he can do that, he is done with you. Have you ever seen such an epidemic of suicide today, as we see today in our society? Young people in their teens taking their life. I can't live anymore. What? What? God's not alive in 2017? Jesus is dead, I suppose. There's no hope whatsoever. It's the attack of Satan upon our lives. Satan attacks, he distracts, and then, he attracts, he distracts, and then he attacks. I've got good news this morning. Through Jesus Christ, there is no problem too difficult. There is no trial too severe. There is no burden too heavy for the Christian, because God's help and grace are all sufficient. Do you remember the Apostle Paul when he complained to the Lord three times? Remember he talked about his thorn in the flesh? And he prayed to the Lord. He says, Lord, if you would just remove this thorn, I could serve you better. And each time, what was the response from the Lord? My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient. If you're blind, Jesus is sufficient. If you're deaf, Jesus is sufficient. If you're crippled, Jesus is sufficient. You see, Jesus isn't concerned about what you can't do for him. He's concerned about what you can do. And he's willing and ready and able to help you to do that. Whatever it is that he's called you to do, he will bring it to fruition if you will draw nigh to him. So this morning, don't stop short. Don't stop short of God's calling upon your life today. Don't stop. Don't throw in the towel. Continue to do the things that the Lord has called you to do. How can you do this? You can do it because God is more than a match for Satan. Satan, through Jesus Christ, we are more than conquerors through him. Romans 8, 37 through 8. Nay, in all things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Father, help us today. Dear God, help us to not stray. Help us to not strut. Help us to not stoop. And help us to not stop short of victory. Father, I pray, dear God, that your word would not return void. But Lord, that you would speak to hearts of Christians today who have neglected to do the things that you've called them to do in their life. Father, help us to know that we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. He is greater than Satan. You are greater than Satan. The Holy Spirit is greater than Satan. As a child of God, I'm in the hand of the Father. I'm in the hand of the Son. And the Holy Spirit abides within me. How can I fail? If I will continue, if I will not give up, if I will not throw in the towel. Lord, there might be somebody here this morning who's ready to quit, ready to throw in the towel and say, I'm done, I'm finished, I can't do it anymore. Oh, Lord, strengthen that person today. Move in their heart. Help them to draw nigh to you, near to you, and your promise is you would draw near to them. Help us, we ask these things in Jesus' name and for his sake. Lord, if there's